I'd love you before you sit down to, in a moment, give a welcome to our guests today who've traveled all the way from New Zealand to the UK just for over a week and a half. They are representing Elim in New Zealand at our national conference this coming week. And we met them when Nita and I went across to New Zealand to their conference back at last autumn, and we just hit it off and just loved me them, feel like brother and sister just so quickly. And when I heard they were coming across to the UK, I was so excited that they were available to make this the first place they were going to speak when they're over in the UK. So they just traveled on, got here on Thursday, so anyone who's done that journey knows a little bit about jet lag. But Tom didn't have anything of jet lag about him this morning. He's bright and he's fresh and he's ready to go. So I wonder if we could welcome Tom and Suze this morning as Tom comes to bring God's word to us. Bless you. Great. And please take your seats.
Yeah, you know, it was so good to meet these guys. I really feel like I can say to Mark, bro, how are you? We kind of talk like that down in New Zealand. So, but hey, good morning, Rediscover Church. How are you today? And good morning, Rediscover Online Church. What camera do I look at? That one will do. I just had a first. I've never been interviewed online like that before. That was outstanding. I have no idea what country I was talking to, but it was pretty cool. But hey folks, I bring you greetings from the home of Middle Earth. Or if you are Lord of the Rings fans, or the home of Keir Paravel, if you are Narnia fans. You didn't know that, did you? You did not know that. Cathedral Cove up on the Coromandel is the home of Keir Paravel, if you're a Narnia fan. There you go. Revelation in the first sentence. What an honor, what an absolute honor to come and join you here this morning in Exeter. This is a trip of firsts for us. We are first time in Exeter, second time in the UK, but first time in Exeter. And first time at a professional football game yesterday. That was pretty cool, man. You guys get pretty pumped at games, are you? Yeah. We just do the, oh, come my day, come. All right, never mind. Yeah. We've got the Lions coming over to get defeated. Anyway, ooh, no! Oh, did I just lose half the congregation right there? Did I? Oh, sorry, yeah. Hey, the Chiefs. Oh, a Chiefs supporter. Come on! The Crusaders destroyed the Bulls last night, or the night before. fellow Kiwi, come on. Alrighty. Hey, you know, we should probably get to the word, eh? Just not talk about where we hang out and... I wonder if I could ask you. I know you've just sat down, but I'd like what us to do this morning, if I may be so bold to ask you, is to establish an atmosphere where our hearts are going to be really ready to receive the word of God. And we do this when we give thanks. When our first response is an attitude of gratitude, it zeroes our heart, our mind, into thinking, actually, you know, this is not all about me. That somewhere, somehow, someone provided life. And it really just gets us focusing off ourselves. And if right now for Suzanne and I, we've got two things that are really helping us focus on thankfulness right now. So if Captain AV, if you can put the first one up. This is Theodore. Yeah, isn't he just outstanding? He's got fantastic genes. Eh? He's really cool. This is our first grandson. Suzanne and I became grandparents this year for the first time. And now we've got two grandchildren. So this is the first one and this is the second one. Yeah. So Theodore's 10 months old, this one is 12 days old, and this is Kira. She is absolutely gorgeous. Our two sons and their wives are a generational blessing is happening. So right now, you know, it's pretty easy for us to give thanks right now. But what I'd like to ask you to do, in the Hebrew language, there actually is no verb that means to thank, like we would use in the English language to thank someone for something. But the meaning of the Hebrew word is to make public acknowledgement in association with the Hebrew noun yad, Y-A-D, spelled Y-A-D, meaning the hand. And it suggests that a hand is outstretched towards God that to make a public acknowledgement. If you've wondered why on earth do people lift hands, and it's not so we can go, oh yeah, I'm good. It's not so that we can do that. It's actually, God, we just are so thankful. And it physically focuses us in an attitude of gratitude. And so I wonder this morning, can we just set a whole new platform of readiness for the Word of God? Could you, just for a moment, would you mind standing and lifting your hands? I mean, we've got two amazing grandchildren that'll focus us in thanks, but I'm sure you don't have to be a rocket scientist to find something to thank God for. So come on, let's just make a bit of noise. Let's just really thank the Lord this morning. Thank you. Lord, right here, right now, Lord God, we acknowledge that you are amazing, that you are holy, that you are righteous. Lord, we recognize you as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that no name is higher than your name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we are in awe of you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And Lord, we pray, come now, Spirit of the living God, take your word and plant it in our hearts, write it on our hearts, Lord God. Father, we read in the Old Testament how things were chiseled into stone and written on parchment. We read in the New Testament how you write things on our hearts. So come and do some writing. And Lord, use a vivid marker so it can't be rubbed off this morning, we pray. And all the believers said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It just really helps to focus us and get us into, you know, if you've been in church for any length of time, I'm sure you would have heard the phrase, the best is yet to come. Just, you know, your recently retired GS, John Glass, Pastor John Glass, who's the national, or the general superintendent of Elam for many years, has just written a book, and it's called The Best is Yet to Come. And, you know, where Suzanne and I live, we live in Marlborough. The city we live in is Blenheim. It's a small one, small city in the province of Marlborough. And we are surrounded on both sides by two range of mountains. It's the largest wine-producing region in New Zealand. So we are surrounded by mountains and vineyards. And I, you know, often wonder, oh man, I hope we get a reward when we get to heaven because we live in paradise, eh? But I take great, the best is yet to come because we have no idea what heaven looks like. And we think we see things that look cool now. You are going to have your mind blown. But, you know, it's so true. That statement is almost Christian cliche. The best is yet to come. But it's true. Jesus hasn't come back yet. You know, when he rocks up, everything's going to change. When he rocks up in the physical, I mean, he rocks up all the time in the supernatural and changes things. Amen? You know, I mean, Pastor Mark asked us if Jesus is moving, let's make some noise. You know, like, we should never be embarrassed about making noise for Jesus. Ever, ever. And we're going to unpack that a little bit soon. But, you know, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 is a verse. If you're taking notes this morning, and we know that people who take notes get to heaven. there's a whole lot of people who just want to get saved right now. Anyone got a spare notebook? Just rip out a page and pass it down the aisle, you know. if you're taking notes, my message this morning is called See That the Lord is Good, hyphen, Greater Works. Greater Works. But in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and like the New King James Version, it would say, you know, people without a vision perish. Another translation would say people without a vision, or if people aren't aware of what God's doing, they cast off restraint. This morning, we're going to use this version, the Message translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Let me read that to you again. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But if or when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. As a pastor, Suzanne and I have been pastoring the Elam Christian Center in Blenheim now for 15 years. And we've been in leadership there for a number of years, longer than that. Sue has been part of our church for 34 years now, 35 years. Almost a founding member, but she looks far too young to be that. I married up, I seriously did. It was so good. But In all the years that we've been in ministry, I've encountered so many people who, it doesn't matter how much counseling they get, it doesn't matter how much encouragement you give them, it doesn't matter how many times you ring them or text them or take them out for a coffee, it doesn't matter how many trays of lasagna someone takes them, they just can't get a breakthrough. It's so frustrating to a pastor. It's like, would you please? I mean, you know, is it illegal to shake an adult? I mean, it's illegal to shake a child in New Zealand. Is that the same here in the UK? I mean, I just want to take a few adults and just go, Grr! And then, oh, grace. Mm. Oh, you know, yeah, if I was in Liverpool, I'd probably go, like that, you know. But you know, I think they don't get the breakthrough because they can't see what God is doing. And because they can't see it, they won't believe it. I mean, you know, when you talk to someone who's unsaved or who doesn't yet know Jesus, you know, I like to call people who don't believe as pre-saved, or not yet saved, or they'll meet Jesus one day saved. But you know, I can't see it, so I won't believe it. You know, it's a classic ostrich syndrome. No one can see me. I can't be seen. I can't see you. You're not there. It doesn't exist. But I want to suggest that actually, it's because they can't see, and it's because they're not attending to what he reveals, that they don't get the blessing and they don't get the breakthrough. People don't have an issue or a problem with a higher power. Not quite bold enough to call him God. Not quite bold enough to accept that he is the creator, so we'll call it intelligent design. Please, I don't want to offend any PhD holders here, but get a clue. He doesn't make mistakes. None of you, not one of you, are a mistake at all. You are a design by God, a masterpiece. But I'd like to suggest that if you don't have an issue with going, God, well, God exists, he's for me, he's out there somewhere, I want to encourage you this morning to take the next step, because the Bible teaches us that it is God in us, the hope of glory. It's God in us. There is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. All throughout the New Testament, it talks about God in, God in, God in, God in, God in us, the hope of glory. In actual fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, from the New Living Translation, it says this: myself, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No other religion, no other religion on earth states the claim that the founder of that faith lives within his followers. Every other faith goes, dress this way, eat these foods, go to this city to worship, face this direction, when you wash this way and wash this many times at this time of the day. And you know what? Actually, I know a few Christian churches like that. If only they would sing these songs, we would have a move of God. You know, I've read some letters that basically, Reader's Digest version, real compact, it said, who felt that they could have the right to bring such music into the house of God? Such degradation to the presence of the living God. And that was written about what a friend we have in Jesus. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. I would suggest we have the same problems. They're just packaged in technology now. And we can get them instantly on our phones. But, you know, I would suggest that everything about those faiths, and you know what, let's just be real. The hearts of the people in those faiths are genuine. Let's not mock that. Let's not downgrade that. They're very, very genuine. But you know what? Those practices will only change our behavior. They won't change our character. Our character is changed from the inside out by the ability and the love and the undeniable grace of a God who can do it. And you know, the only reason he can do it is because he designed us. If you want to know how something's supposed to work properly, go to the designer. Go back to the blueprint. Go to the one who made it in the first place. Jesus is the one who designed us, and Jesus is the one who can change us from the inside out. So if people can't see what God is doing, they'll stumble all over themselves. But if they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So what is that attend word? It sounds very university, doesn't it? Attend. Any English scholars in the house? I hope not, because then you won't be able to test what I'm about to teach you. But anyway, the word attend means to attend to listen to watch carefully, to focus on, to concentrate on, to pay attention and keep your mind on and apply. Oh, what? You know, I got to do something. It's called faith and works. You know, faith without works. What does the scripture say? Faith without works is? Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry, guys. I've come halfway around the world to tell you, you got to get off your butt. Is that okay? Can I use that word here?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a good English word? Okay, butt. There we go. With a double T.
Yeah.
So that makes it right, huh? Yeah, right. So we've actually got work to do. We've got to apply ourselves. So attend, if people will attend to what he reveals, which means you actually got to take what God gives you and you got to do something with it. You actually have to make it fit into your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this scripture and I'm going to unpack it through a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. So a little bit of background. We have the children of Israel held as slaves, held captive in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. Suddenly, Moses rocks up and says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." God said. He's going, "Who is this God?" And, you know, there's a whole series, all the plagues, all this, Egypt gets the stuffing knocked out of it, literally. And then the Egyptians start to pay the Israelites to leave. You know, if you actually do a study on it, they left Egypt bankrupt because they took all their gold. And as an actual fact, it was giving them, "Take our gold, take our cattle, whatever, you just get out of town, please. We can't handle any more of these plagues." And they travel through they get to Mount Sinai. Moses is up the mountain for far too long hanging out with God, so the people complain. They make Aaron make a golden calf. They start to worship. And then God says to Moses, "Those people you brought out of Egypt, you brought them, what? You brought them out of, I'm going to destroy them." And like Moses is going, whoa, let's just back this tractor up a little bit, God. Didn't you say they will be my people and I will be their God? Didn't you split the seed and you I mean, God, I don't want to offend you, but I think they're your people. Didn't you bring them out? And anyway, he has this conversation one-on-one with God. Have you ever thought about that, Rediscover Church? That you can have a conversation with the creator of the heavens and the earth? That's what prayer is all about. That's what prayer is all about. It's not a shopping list. It's a conversation. It's you and mano a mano. It's you and the creator of the heavens and the earth having a chat. Just let that bake your noodle for a bit. You know, it's like, what? Don't snort. This lady snorts when she laughs. Did you know? Has anyone heard that? Don't hold your nose. You sound funny. Anyway, so we come to this place where God says, "I'm going to send you, but I'm not going to go with you, because if I travel with you, I'm going to kill you." And this is what Moses said, Exodus 33, verses 15 through 17. "Then Moses said, 'If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us?' Get this. 'For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth.'" Rediscover Church, your presence, God, amongst us, sets us apart. Guys, if we don't have the living presence of God in this place, we're just a really groovy club that for some reason meets early on a Sunday morning. What's with that? It's the presence of God that sets us apart. It's the presence of God that makes us who we are. And he goes on, "The Lord replied to Moses, 'I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name.'" Let's jump forward into the next chapter, Exodus 34, verses 10 and 11. "The Lord replied, 'Listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people.'" Moses and God, they got to kind of sort this out, eh? "I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. But listen carefully to everything I command you today. Then I will go ahead of you and I will drive out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The Marmites and the Vegemites. If you're Australian, you love Vegemite. If you're Kiwi, you love Marmite. And never the two shall be blended in Jesus' name. Have you ever read a passage of scripture where God just goes, because you want to go to the next verse, and it's like that classic AJ Hackett bungee cord. Anyone here ever done bungee jumping? You've done bungee jumping? God bless you. We'll pray for you later. Actually, I'd love to do it. I haven't done it yet. I've jumped out of a plane from 12,000 feet, but not bungee jumping. The biggest rush overhead. Woo! 12,000 feet to 5,000 feet in 50 seconds free falling. I think I emptied my entire adrenal gland. So cool. So cool. People think I'm mad. But anyway. But I was reading this scripture and I was about to read the next verse. And I was like, I couldn't get past it. And I was going, God, why did... So, sometimes it takes a few blows to the forehead before I get it. And it was like, oh, you want me to dig into this a bit deeper? And you kind of hear God going, mm-hmm. A little bit like, Oprah Winfrey might. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, sorry, God. And so I read it again and again. And it was like, I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in the earth or in any nation. And the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power that I will display. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. You mean there's more? Listen to me, just have a think of this list. There was creation, then the flood, all of the animals all together, all in the same place in the ark. And if you've had any background in farming, you know that's a miracle. Then there's Sarah, who had a baby at an age when that shouldn't have happened. There's Moses in the burning bush on the side of the mountain, the plagues, the Red Sea parting, the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the manna from heaven. Any Keith Green people here? Manna burgers! Okay, you have a young church. You have a young church, which is really cool. The church is only one generation away from dying. Went very Methodist then, didn't it? Quite quiet. And, it is. Actually, if we don't have generational faith, the church will gradually die. But Keith Green's great Christian music. I grew up on that anyway. I do tend to take the scenic route, so this guy's going to keep me close to my timing this morning. But I thought about it. Miracles that have never been performed, and people will see the awesome power displayed on the earth. And I'm thinking, what more can you do? What is left? I looked again and 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 again. And then I went, oh, hang on a minute. And I realized that every one of those miracles was external. It was a miracle of provision, or it was a miracle of external security and protection, or an external miracle of direction, even an external miracle of provision. I mean, for 40 years they wandered in the desert and their sandals and their clothes never wore out. And I read that as a man and I went, that is so practical. That is so practical. I only ever need one pair of shoes. That'll be fantastic. Then I realized if that was what I would preach, I would lose half the church and they'd all be the ladies because they want to go shopping. And 40 years without a new dress, it was like, I don't think so, Jack. But God's a practical God, so we just have to deal with that. And I looked at it again. It was all external, all external, all external. And then my focus went on to the verse where it said, then I will go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Why would God specifically list those tribes? He's sending them into a land that is full of different tribes, and they all end in ite, by the way. I've just read them all just recently in the Old Testament. There's a very long list. Why just those ones? If you know anything about Hebrew culture, a name is spectacularly powerful. People are named, children are named for a specific reason and a specific character. And it actually started right back at the beginning. God brought all the animals to Adam, and it was Adam's job to name them. How cool is that? Big woolly thing sort of just kind of struts. Adam looks at him and goes, lion. And then this thing with an incredibly long neck and looks like he'd been hit by random paintballs comes up, and Adam goes, did you have a bad day, Lord? You know, and he goes, giraffe, I guess. You know, so, but Adam named the animals. I mean, our words have creative power. Our words have character-establishing power. Be aware, mums and dads, be aware what you speak over your children. So God lists off these names of these tribes, and I start to think, well, if the miracles that are going to be greater than what God has done on the outside, I'd like to suggest this morning that the greatest miracles are the miracles of transformation that happen on the inside. And I'm going to show you that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18 out of the Message translation says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence and not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it, all of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more bright, beautiful. And get this, as God enters our lives and we become like him. Oh, that's so good. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Let's have a look at these names, because God wants to do some internal transformation. Remember, we are dealing with a people who have been slaves for 400 years. God says, I'm going to remove the Amorites. The name Amorite means arrogant, prominence, and pride. They had lived for 400 years under tyrannical arrogance, a people who believed that when someone was crowned as Pharaoh, instantly became a god who could live forever. I was like, really? How come you needed new pharaohs? It's a clue. You know, they're not gods. Why did they get old? But God said, I'm going to remove this tyranny from you. That's the first thing. These guys have been slaves for 400 years. The first tribe, I'm going to remove tyranny, arrogant tyranny from you. Then he says, I will remove the Canaanites. The name Canaanite means peddler of humiliation. You've got to remember, 400 years of slavery, these people had been they had lived being put down, being humiliated. That they just it was the only thing they knew. Generation after generation after generation was born into humiliation under tyrannical dictatorship. And God says, no longer. No longer. I am going to remove this. Rediscover Church, can you see what God is doing? Can you see what he's doing? Then he says, I'm going to remove the Hittites. The name Hittite means terror. Imagine the terror that is induced into a home when a decree from a false god comes down and soldiers invade your community and your firstborn sons are taken and slaughtered in front of you. This is in the story of Moses. Imagine the terror that would induce in your homes. God says, not going to happen anymore. I'm going to remove terror from your understanding. I'm going to remove terror from your daily thoughts. You no longer live under tyrannical, arrogant dictatorship. You no longer live as a humiliated people. You no longer have to live under terror. And then he says, I'm going to remove the Perizzites. The name Perizzite means separate and alone. For 400 years, they thought they were on their own. No one came to help them. No one came to rescue them. No one even raised a hand to provide for them. They had to do it themselves. And then in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 12 to 13, from the Message translation, it says this, I will set up my residence in your neighborhood. I won't avoid or shun you. I'll stroll through your streets. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I am God, your personal God, who rescued you from Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I ripped off the harness of your slavery so that you can move about freely. Have you ever felt like you are utterly tied down, utterly restricted because for some reason something is holding you bound? I ripped off the harness of your slavery so that you can move freely. Rediscover church. Can you see what God is doing? Will you attend to what he reveals? Because if you do, you will be most blessed. Then God says, I'm going to remove the Hivites. The name Hivite means small town. And this is huge, because the reason the Egyptians put the Israelites into slavery was because they went, these guys are multiplying really, really fast. And if we don't do something to hem them in, they may numerically increase to the point where they will overrun us and become our lords. And so they took a fast-growing people and shackled them into slavery, shackled them into small thinking, shackled them into minuscule understanding, shackled them for 400 years. Generation after generation after generation were told, can't go there, we're not allowed. Can't do that, we're not allowed. We can't get bigger, we're not allowed. We're just not allowed. And God said, no longer. God said, I have called you to be great, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I have called you to succeed in every single thing you are doing. Sir, with the glasses, I met you yesterday at the football. I can't remember your name, sorry. Steve? I don't know what is ahead of you, but I just have this sense in my spirit that God is going to ask you to put your hand on something. I don't know whether it's a new design or a new business or a new transaction of some formal thing. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Don't move quickly, but in all things. The minute you put your hand on it, say, God, I put my hand on that and your hand on top of mine. Guide me, give me the right, give me the wisdom to, and you will see doors open, I believe, in the name of Jesus, that may not have opened had you not called on the name of the Lord. He's got a business for you. He's got work for you to do, doors that are going to be opened for you, but not in your own strength. So walk in the presence and the peace of God, but know he's got your back too. So, he said, you're not here to be small. You are no longer bound, but you can increase and grow in how I've meant you to increase and grow. You no longer are a small town. And then the last tribe, the Jebusites. Jebusites means trodden down, polluted, and loathed. They had lived being loathed. They lived being trodden down. They had lived in polluted slave squalor for 400 years. God says, no longer. I'm giving you a land that flows with milk and honey. If you read the story of Joshua and Caleb, one bunch of grapes took two men to carry it. That's a whole lot of wine. Hey, a Marlboro vineyard owners would love grapes that big. God has called you to increase. God has called you to increase in Rediscover Church. I mean, you're already doing that globally with your online people. Don't be restricted to being online, people. Realize that what you receive through these services, you can take into your hometowns. You can take into your communities. You can take into your schools and your businesses. And what is sown from this place, you can sow in your nation, and people will be set free in Jesus' name. Can you see what God is doing? Can you see that he removes tyranny? He removes humiliation. He removes terror. Let me just come back up the list because I can't remember them all off the top of my head. Where are we? Terror, separation, loneliness, small thinking, no longer being trodden down. He's removed it all. Now, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, we read of the real and the actual happening. When we overlay this into the New Testament and the New Covenant that we live in because of Jesus Christ, those very things that happened in the natural happen in the spiritual. You do no longer need to live in terror. You do no longer need to live feeling loathed, having a crushed and a small mentality. You don't need to live as if you are loathed and in slavery by the Spirit of the living God. Today, kamate, today is your day of freedom. The Māori have a phrase, kia kaha, stand and be strong. Today is your Kia Kaha Day, Rediscover Church. Ah, I just need a tire ha, which is the big long Māori spear. Today is your day to be free. Andrew, did I get that name right? Piano player, Andrew, please, would you join us? Miracles can happen now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Would you stand this morning? I would love to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, over every home, every family represented in this place, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. Lord, when we acknowledge you in all of our ways, you will direct our paths. In Jesus' name. Right now, there is a lady here. That phrase, I have ripped off you the harness of slavery, that is so pertinent to you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a significant healing. No scars, Lord, no trace, no evidence of that harness ever having been on her life. In Jesus' name, release the power of your anointing over her right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Extraordinary supernatural healing. Right now, there is a man in this auditorium. You've been sitting on a dream, a design, and you have felt constrained, restricted, and kind of like who do you think you are that you can have such a design that will change so many things in so many people's lives? And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that constricting band, and I breathe the power of God into that situation right now. Lord, set it free in the dimensions that you originally planted it in His Spirit for right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're in this place and you need that miracle, if you understand, if there's something I've shared that you've identified with, then it is by the Spirit of the living God that a miracle can happen.
Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, reach out, take hold of that miracle. Name it, put it in the hands of God. Put it in the hands of God. Allow the Spirit of the living God to minister into it. Sickness and disease, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Doubt, despair and depression, anxiety, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. You no longer shackle these ones in slavery, but in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom over this house. No longer held bound, no longer loathed, no longer trodden down or humiliated, no longer under tyranny of dictatorship, but under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord.